Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 49. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 49.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 49 reads this way. It says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, once again thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, knowing that you are in our midst, we thank you for your presence. We ask for the filling and guidance of your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, once again, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and our lives drawn closer to you. Bless and build Northwood, Lord, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is Our Spiritual House. Our Spiritual House. And when it comes to building a house, there's one part that is very critical that goes unseen, right? And that's the foundation. And you don't want to skimp on the foundation, because if you skimp on the foundation, then the rest of the house is going to be a mess, right? And if that's not square, then everything else is out of square too. And if it's not strong enough, well, it's not going to hold up. And that's the illustration here. That the Lord was sharing here with his people, and he wants to share with us here tonight. So many people really today know something about the Word of God, yet there's a lot of people that don't seek to understand what the Word of God is really saying, and that's a shame, isn't it? There's people that have no inkling and do not care and don't want to know anything about it, and it's a shame, because that concerns our eternal life. But that's not the group of people that the Lord is speaking to tonight. He's talking to those that do care about their position and their place and their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I believe the Lord is teaching us the importance of the foundation of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to understand how that works. And so tonight we're going to take a look at three quick points, and that's the overall important need, and then the overall important problem, and then the third thought will be the overall clear direction that God gives us, and he wants us to understand that. So we've been given the blueprint, if you will. We've been given the right instruction. All we have to do is follow it, right? It's a no-fail recipe, because the Lord is the chef, if you will. Amen? The Lord is the one that's in control. All we have to do is place our hearts and our minds in his hands and say, "Lord, do your will in my life. I don't want to do what I think, what I believe. I want to do what you've said," because that can get us in trouble. Peter believed some things about the Lord, didn't he? He believed he shouldn't have gone to the cross, and that's not what the Lord wanted to do. And so we don't want to savor the things that be of men, but the things that be of the Lord. So tonight, as we consider our text, we're going to do some book balancing, if you will, right? That's a good thing to do, not because we're short, or not because we have an overage. You know, overages are just as bad as shortages are, you know, when you're balancing the books. Well, of course, you might want to be over than short, but there's a problem. Needless to say, there's a problem. They should balance out. Everything should zero out when all the books and everything is all balanced out. And so likewise, also in our relationship with the Lord, when we consider his word, we want everything to balance out in our lives. Many years ago, there was a builder, right, and a contractor, and this contractor worked with this builder, I think it was for about 20 years. And anyway, the contractor was an older fella, and he was getting ready to retire after 20 years working with this builder. And he says, "Listen, I want to build one more house with you." And the builder said, "Okay." And he got to thinking, he said, "Boy, this is the last house, you know, and this contractor, he likes building good homes, but this is my last opportunity with him. And what I'm going to do," he got to thinking about it, "I can really make a killing on this house if I'll just use cheaper fixtures, if I'll just go ahead and cut back on the quality of the materials, and if I'll just cut corners here and there." He figured he could make more money on this one house than he's ever made and his whole 20 years that he'd been working for this contractor. So that's exactly what he did. So he worked on this house, and he got it all finished and all taken care of. And the contractor said, is the house exactly as you would have it built? And he said, absolutely, you know. And he says, good, I want to come and take a look at it with you. And he walked through the whole house with the builder, and the contractor said, is this exactly the way? You sure you got it exactly the way you want it? You don't want to make any changes. You want it just like this. He says, I want it just like this. He said, so you're happy with it? I am thrilled with it. He said, good, because he pulled out the keys. He said, this is my gift to you. And you know, God is the master builder, and he's given us good materials. And what we're building really in return will be for us as well. And so we don't want to skimp on the things concerning what the Lord has for us. And we don't want to cut corners. And we don't want to try to make a killing out of it. We don't want to try to advantage ourselves, because our hope is in heaven. Amen. And our home is in eternity with the Lord forever. And this world's just simply passing away, isn't it? It is passing away. So what we're going to look at here is, again, the overall important need here. And that's the foundation, the building. Look with me, if you will, in verse 47. And notice what he says here. He says, whosoever cometh to me, that's the main ingredient. That's important. We need to go to the Lord. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, that's another thing that's important. See, we can't just, listen, there are people that maybe ritualistically they read a chapter a day to keep the devil away. Ritualistically they run through their prayers and said, I've said my prayers. Ritualistically they can attend church service and they can go through the motions, but they're not coming to the Lord for direction and for meaning and for understanding. It's kind of an old hat with them, right? And so they're not getting anything fresh. They're not getting anything vibrant. And what happens is that kind of Christianity becomes dry and becomes stale in their own lives. And it just becomes kind of a habit instead of a relationship that's vibrant and thriving. And so the Lord is giving us some good instruction here. He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, listen to this, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built in house and digged deep. That's the foundation, isn't it? He digged deep. And notice this, and laid the foundation on a rock. That's the work that nobody sees. And by the way, that's the same work that God wants us to have, that nobody really sees when we're at home and we're really pouring out our heart before the Lord and we're asking for the Lord to fulfill his will in our lives. And we don't want to just be hearers, Lord. We want to be doers. We want to do the work and the will that you have for our lives. And so we don't want to just take this haphazardly. We want to be on purpose doing the right thing. So he says this. He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And you know, the rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants our life to be founded upon him. That's where we become unmovable, because, listen, it's not just something that we say. It's an experience. We trust the Lord. We yield ourselves in all the little things. We walk upright by the grace of God. And so, therefore, we're coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't want you just because I don't want to fall into some big sin. I want to follow you in every little thing, every little jot, every little tittle that you said in your word, I want to be faithful to. Is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, worthy of our lives? Yes, amen. He's given his life for us that we might have eternal life. And God says to us in his word that he's got things in store for us that haven't even entered into our minds, and that won't be able to be compared with anything that we've experienced on this side of eternity. God says, what I've got for you will supersede and surpass what you can ever experience here on earth. And the first thing is, can you imagine what it will be like to have a body that will never age a day? Never age throughout all eternity. Does that excite you? It's exciting me. Amen. It's exciting me because listen, he wants us to, he loves us and he's eternal. He's made us in his image and that's what he wants us to have. So Lord, I want to have all, and by the way, for the glory of God, but for our blessing as well. So God, this works manifold, many different ways. And so the foundation of the building is important and we must go to the Lord for it. It's not anything that we can build ourselves. Remember what he said. Whosoever, verse 47, cometh to me. If you want the house to be built right, we have to come to the Lord. God is not asking us to build it ourselves. He's not asking us to serve him in our power, is he? No, he's wanting us to serve him in his power. And you know, that is a moment by moment walk and an understanding that only God can give to those who are calling upon him to fulfill his will. Listen, question. Did the disciples not walk with the Lord during his earthly ministry? Did they understand everything that they needed to know about the Lord? No, they did not. And the only reason why they had any success was because they were in the presence of the Lord and he was helping them all along the way. And by the way, when he died and rose again, he gave the Holy Spirit once again that the disciple would not be by themselves, but would have the Lord every step of the way. So God wants us to do that as well and not to think, oh, I can do this. Again, that'd be like being 35,000 feet. You know, that's how high the airplanes fly, right? About 500 miles an hour, 35,000 feet in the air. Miss Donna, when you took your first airplane ride, did you feel after you got up there, you said, oh, I don't need the plane anymore. I mean, my goodness, just let me step out. I got this. No, she wouldn't have that. I'm sure that didn't even enter in. Right? You just wanted, you know, you were enjoying the plane ride and you wanted it to make its destination, and you can count on it when we are walking with the Lord, God sees to it that we're going to make our destination. And he wants it to be one that honors and glorifies him and is a benefit to our lives as well. Now let's look at the overall important problem, and that's neglect of the foundation in the building. Look at verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation. Not even a bad foundation. He has no foundation. Do you hear what the Lord is saying there? He that heareth and doeth not. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And listen, you and I, if we don't have the foundation, and who's the rock? The Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be founded upon him, otherwise we're going to fall. And so he says, the stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was what? It was great. It was a great wreck, right? We don't want that. And so that's the overall important problem. But now we have the overall clear direction. And before we go back to verse 35, look at verse 46. This is important for us to see. Look what the Lord says before he started with the foundations. Here's what he said. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Do you know it's more important to do what the Lord has said than anybody else, than anything else? That our commitment ought to be more to what God is saying than anything else. If we will be committed to that, everything else falls in line. And so let's back up here to verse 35 and notice his instruction very quickly. He says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You know what God is saying? He's saying, be kind to the unthankful and to the evil. That's not our nature, that's the Lord. So if there are people that are unkind, and there are people that are unthankful and evil, God says, be kind to them. And why would you do that? Well, notice what he says here. Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful because of these instruction, as your Father also is merciful. He says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And the reason why he's saying to do this is because if he didn't do it, you and I wouldn't have a chance. He forgave us for how much? Isn't that amazing? He says, do like me. You say you're a child of God, then act like the Lord. Amen? Don't listen. God didn't save us to leave us like we are. He called us to be His children, a royal priesthood, light and salt of the earth. Amen. And we can't do that being ourselves. You know, some people say here, they say, well, that's just the way I am. Is that what God saved us for? To leave us just the way we are? My goodness, I'll tell you what I think about what I am. I don't want any part of it. Just the way I am is what condemned me in the first place. So just the way I am is not a good answer. That ought not to be. You can keep it in your vocabulary, but that ought not to be said of a child of God. I want to be as my heavenly Father. Amen. I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our example, because what happens is if we're not careful, we get full of ourselves. And if we're full, why would you carry full buckets to the well? And if your buckets are full of you, you've got nothing you're coming to the Lord for. You got to come with an empty bucket with a need. Amen. You got to come with empty buckets and say, Lord, I need you to fill me. Lord, I need you to guide me, because I'll make a mess of this. Lord, I don't have anything. I've got to come empty before the Lord, and that takes humility, and that says, Lord, I need you. But listen, if we're not careful, we're self-sufficient. I don't need the Lord. I don't have to seek Him. We can do without the Lord, but we will never grow in the grace of God and understand the love of God in our lives. You know, and we'll never understand how God works in the life of every believer. Do you think it was Joseph's plan for his brothers to turn on him? Do you think that's what he wanted? No, but he trusted it was of the Lord, didn't he? And look how God worked all that. That is a perfect picture of what God wants every child to be. Kind to those who despitefully use you, even though you would say, and they ought to know better. And maybe they should, but how about us? Shouldn't we know better too, as the Lord is telling us here, how to love even those that don't love us and even those that are not kind? Again, verse 36, he says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. I think that's a commandment, don't you? No. I know that's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. God is saying, he's saying, be ye therefore merciful. Why? Because if you want to be a child of the highest, isn't that what it says? Look at verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. You want a great reward? There's the answer. And I tell you this, listen, we need the Lord for that. Because we don't like anybody taking advantage of us. And so we need the Lord to remind us, I don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Did the brothers rob Joseph of anything, even though they sold him as a slave? He became the most powerful person second to Pharaoh. You couldn't get any more. In fact, he was really more powerful because he helped. If it wasn't for Joseph and God revealing the dream to him, Egypt would have been wiped out with the famine. But God protected him, protected Egypt and Joseph as well, because he submitted. So again, he says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Listen to this. And ye shall be the children of the highest. That's how you're the children of the highest. You can't just say, well, I'm born again and that's it. That's a poor testimony if there's no action backing it up. If there's no power, there's no proof. Amen? There's no proof without the power. And so he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, notice, it shall be measured to you again. As you do, God says, I'll take care of you. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? That's a good question. Of course, the answer is no. Shall they not both fall into the ditch? So those who are ignoring what the Lord is saying are blind. Those who do not believe, doesn't matter their position. Question, were the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, were they blind? Absolutely they were. And you know, he's speaking to us so that we don't walk the way they did. The disciple, verse 40, is not above his master. Isn't that the same way the Lord walked? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect or mature shall be as his master. Lord, I want to be mature. I want to be like you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? He says, Thou hypocrite. The Lord says this. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye. Get your life right first. And then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree, listen to what he says here, bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. He's saying, what kind of fruit are you bearing? Is it love? Is it gentleness? Is it kindness? This is an indicator. This is balancing the books. What's coming out of your life? You need to really see it, or you're going to be confounded when you stand before the Lord. You don't want to be in first shock. God doesn't make it complicated. We can fool ourselves and say, you know, that's like people that never balance their checkbook. You think they're going to be in trouble someday? Soon? Absolutely. It's good to balance the books, isn't it? And see where everything is at according to the what? To the statement. According to the statement. What's the statement for the Christian? The Word of God. That's the measuring line. Lord, how am I walking upright? How am I walking in your eye? And so he says, for every tree, verse 44, is known of his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And so what kind of treasures are we storing up in our heart? What kind of treasures are we storing up? Are they the Lord's treasures or ours? Ours are worthless. Ours are corrupt. Ours are cankered. Ours are rotten. Ours are from a bad tree. And so we have bad fruit. So where's the good tree? Jesus says, I'm the vine. Abide in me, right? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, verse 45, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, listen to this, you want to see where it's all at? For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth, the Lord said this, his mouth speaketh. Listen to what's coming out of the mouth. Ours particularly, right? What is coming out of my mouth? Is it love? Is it gentleness? Is it kindness? Is it long-suffering? Is it giving those that don't deserve the kindness and the love of the Lord, giving, still receiving, and still we're still giving the love of the Lord? That's what's really important. Now, that's the all, how would you say, illuminating factor that God is trying to reveal to us. He's saying, that's not complicated. Just take an inventory. Balance the books. See what's coming out. And then he finishes with this statement that we're going to finish with tonight. Verse 46. He says this. And the Lord said this. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is saying this. Ready? To us. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He says it doesn't wash. The Lord is saying, why? Don't waste your time. Don't waste our time pointing out anybody else's problem if we got a problem. So what he's saying, save it. You have no right. In fact, the Lord would call us a hypocrite. And so think about it. If then you might say, oh, I'll never be able to straighten anybody out. That's a good place to be. Leave it in the Lord's hands. Leave it in God's hands. Because that's where the kindness and the gentleness. Listen, did Joseph try to straighten out his brothers? When they showed up, could Joseph have straightened out his brothers? Question, did he? That's the Lord Jesus Christ in him. How about in us? How about in us? Lord, may we be merciful as you are merciful. And may we not be hypocrites. But may we be empowered for your honor and glory. You know why? Because I am going to give an account for my life before the Lord, and nobody's going to defend me. And guess who else is going to give an account for their lives? We all are, aren't we? And nobody's going to be there. And God's going to open up the book. And that's the rule. Amen? And no one's going to be able to plead. In this country, nobody can plead ignorance. We've got the manual, amen, of life. The question is, do we want to walk the Lord's way? Hey, time's running short. And we're going to stand before the Lord. And eternity is a long time. And I don't want to, you know, I understand salvation, but I don't want to disappoint the Lord. And I know that, you know, all the tears will be wiped away, and you can identify that and define that any way that you want to. But I would like to hear for myself, and I would like you to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know why? Because of the love of God that he gave to us, his son on the cross. And he's worthy for us to lay down our lives and live for him. Amen? Would you stand? Let's pray as we break off for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your word, the wisdom, the understanding that it brings, the truth, the light, Lord, that reveals our position and our standing. And Lord, what we need to call upon you to do in our lives that you've promised, Lord. And we thank you for your great faithfulness. And we know, Lord, that you've not left us to do this on our own, but you've filled us with your Holy Spirit that he might empower us to glorify you. May we understand, may we call upon you to give us more wisdom, more understanding of how you want him to work in our lives, that we would be found faithful. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.